The first reading is taken from Exodus chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, travelling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarrelled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?"
Second reading is taken from Luke, chapter 24, verse 36b to 48. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why no doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe, because of the joy and the amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."
The third reading is taken from Acts 3, verses 12 to 19. Peter said to the people, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by your own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant, Jesus. He handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord.
We sometimes forget that Easter doesn't just consist of Good Friday and Easter Sunday, Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. The Easter season's actually 7 weeks long. Did you know that? It's 40 days until Christ's ascension, and then another 10 days until Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes. So there's a time lag, isn't there, between Easter and Pentecost. And it reminds us that for the disciples, there was a lot of waiting and doubt and fear. What was going on? And then they were empowered by the Spirit. So Easter wasn't one cataclysmic moment, rather a gradual revelation. And actually that's got clear resonance with the stories that we read of the Israelites wandering through the wilderness, when step by painful step they progressed from the land of oppression to the land of promise. It also has resonance with us, because we live in times of political and personal uncertainty. Not only the uncertainty of Brexit, maybe the very worrying increase of the use of chemical weapons and the corresponding attacks, or maybe just what's happening in your home or at your place of work. We may well ask the same question that the Israelites did, and that is the Lord among us or not? So today I'm going to focus on these two questions. Is the Lord among us or not? And the other two, which appear in our second two readings, what kind of witnesses are we? We are witnesses. What kind of witnesses? And whilst I'm preaching, we're going to be looking at, again, the three new wine values. And last week you had pieces of paper. This week I've given you them again, just so that you know what they are. But ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit is the first one. Kingdom, the kingdom of God, is the second one, and family and relationships is the third. So let's first of all think about those two questions. The first one, is the Lord with us? Is he not with us? Is he with us? And the second one, how can we be witnesses? They're very closely related, because if God is with us, then we have something to witness about. If he's not, well, we could be the complainers like the Israelites were, but we could also be people who, as Paul said, are people most to be pitied. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, what are we doing here on a Sunday morning worshipping him? But if he did, well, that's another story. What are the signs of his presence with us today? So let's look at the first account, the Old Testament account. Israelites' journey. So far they've witnessed the plagues in Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, the leading of the cloud by day and the fire by night. They've had provision of pure water from bitter. They've also had the provision of food, manna, falling from heaven. Nevertheless, they quarreled and they complained at Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" They were thirsty, but perhaps they were also still suffering from the grief of loss of place, of belonging. Even though they were slaves in Egypt, they knew it. They had departed en masse. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't know how long it would take to get there. And actually, they had become refugees. We may feel that with all the turmoil in our lives, we're not sure where we're going either. Two things this week have happened. To do with Messy Church, actually. The one was a meeting to plan our new Messy Church, which is going to be on Pentecost, well, just before Pentecost, but during thy kingdom come, we're trying something new. We're going to the school. We're going to have it on a Sunday afternoon, not a Saturday afternoon. And we're doing it, instead of in the morning as we do church here, we're doing it in the midst of our Mark's Tay community, or if you like, estate, in order to try and draw in new families. We're going to them because it's hard to bring them to us. Apart from the fact that the A120 runs through the middle of the village, 11 o'clock on a Sunday is not very a good time for families. The second thing is what happened this morning. Actually, we gathered, we invited lots of families. None of those families took up the invitation. Is the Lord among us or not? That's a very good question. Now, I think, what a wonderful opportunity for the team to get together to enjoy fellowship over food, and they did, to pray for families, and they did, and actually to prepare what will be a huge outreach of Messy Church on our estate. Sometimes, just like those Israelites, change and transition bring uncertainty. We may be looking back to the good old days, whatever those were. We may well be asking, is the Lord among us or not? The second reading from Luke, could we just have that up, please, Marianne? The second reading from Luke's Gospel, it actually begins just before this, because that's 36b. The beginning of that verse says, while they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. While they were talking about that, what were they talking about when Jesus came suddenly amongst them? Well, do you know the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus with Jesus? After all the events in Jerusalem, they were walking, they were talking, they walked and talked with Jesus, but they did not recognize him. Why? Well, partly because they didn't expect somebody to be walking and talking with them when they'd just seen him dying on the cross. He explained scripture to them. He drew out from Moses and all the way through the Old Testament what the meaning of Easter was. But still they didn't recognize him. When he broke bread and gave it to them with thanks, suddenly they realized Jesus is here. Well, they'd walked 7 miles to Emmaus with Jesus. They'd recognized him. Do you know what? They walked the 7 miles back again to Jerusalem. They went to the disciples and they said, it is true. He has risen. The Lord has risen. That's our Easter acclamation. And then the story starts. They come and what do they find out? They find out that the disciples are doubtful and they're fearful. But Jesus comes. He turns up. They might have been asking, is the Lord amongst us or not? But the truth is, if they're going to be his witnesses, they've got to see him. They've got to feel him. He offered them to touch him. They shared meal together, which meant they tasted the fish with him. His presence became real in their midst. Thank you, Marianne. You can take that off now. The question is, if we're to be his witnesses, we need to pray that our eyes would be open to his presence within our midst. We need boldness to witness. We need to see and experience the Lord at work in our lives and community. Recently, I witnessed an accident. It was on the A12. It was on the 13th of March, about 9:30. It was just after a curate's meeting in Coggeshall, and I was going back home with another curate with me. It wasn't much fun. Roadworks, as usual, on the A12, single lane, and then the lane opened up as the Etash Green feeder came on. And I could hear, as we were going past that road, the revving of cars. And a car shot past me on the left lane. And behind me shot another car, ran on my right, overtook me in another car, and zoomed across, colliding with the other car, sending him up halfway onto the verge, and then reeling back into the middle lane, knocking that car, 360-degree spin, and then that he hit the central reservation. Well, my heart was in my throat. They missed me by a hair's breadth. The car in front of me stopped. We felt we needed to stop as well to find out if he was okay. He was. He was shaken, but he was fine. His car was quite badly damaged. We talked with him. We phoned the police. We gave him our details, and my friend took his card, and he asked us, would you just wait with me until the police came? The police came, we gave them our witness statements, and then we left to go home. We thought that would be the last we'd heard of it. But then just before Easter, I got a call from the accident manager, from an accident manager company. And the company asked, what was it that I'd seen? So I explained, just a bit like what I've explained now. They wanted to know, was their client a guilty party? Well, I didn't know, because one, I didn't speak to the people who actually were involved in that first collision, but also I didn't remember the name of the person that we spoke to. My friend had lost his card. I didn't take down the number plate. I couldn't remember the make of the car. It turned out that even though I was there at the time, I couldn't give clear evidence. I think I was probably in a bit of shock myself. It could have been me, but it's true, I turned out to be a bad witness. Even though I was there, I couldn't give the whole story. But actually, I could give the part of the story that I remembered. I could give the part of the story that I had seen as accurately as I could. And remember, I wasn't the only witness. There were many others. I was only one of many. And isn't that the point? That none of us have the full story as witnesses, but it's important to tell our part. And that's what the third of the New Wine Values says. It talks about family and relationship. It talks about no matter how messy things might seem in our family, the local church, our own personal families, the church is part of the central plan of God to transform the world. And actually, we need to do that together. Could you go back to the family? Yeah, that one. So you can see that plaque there. That plaque was actually a photograph that I took when I was at Brentwood School. And next to it are little parts of that third New Wine Value. Look at the last part. The local church, Mark's Tay Church, is central. It's a central part of God's plan to transform the world. We need to do it together. Okay, so let's have a look at our third reading. Thank you, Marianne, for the third reading. It's from the Acts of the Apostles. By the way, that was also written by Luke, so Luke's Gospel and Luke's Acts of the Apostles. But he, like us, wasn't there when Jesus was resurrected. He didn't see Jesus after his resurrection and before his ascension. So what he based his belief on was a carefully sifted evidence from the testimony and witnesses of other people. So look at our reading. It begins when Peter said to the people, well, it actually begins when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? Slightly different words there. But the point is, it doesn't actually tell us what had happened that surprised them. What had actually happened? Why do you stare at it? Do you remember the story of Peter and John, who went to the temple every day at 3 o'clock? And what did they find? They found the beggar there. And the beggar was asking for money. And they prayed for him. They said, silver and gold have we none, but what we have we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And he did. He stood up and he started walking and leaping and praising God. That's what the Bible says. And the people were filled with wonder and amazement. Well, Peter now has this opportunity. And what does he do? He takes them from that wonder and amazement and he starts talking to them about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and what he had done. He also said, and by the way, you're the ones who killed the author of life. You're the ones who killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. Just the next slide, please. God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses. Thank you, Marianne. You can take that off. So they witness to the fact that it's through Jesus that the beggar has perfect health. How often, I want us to know, to think about, how often is it after some sign of God's presence in our midst, some amazing thing that happened, like Emma was talking about on her testimony for Thy Kingdom Come, that we realize God is in our midst? And so the first of the new wine values, and if we can have that slide, in the ministry of the power of the Holy Spirit, the first of the new wine values says that we partner with God, the ministry and the power of the Spirit one. We partner with God through his Spirit in word, in works, and in worship. We're expecting to see signs and wonders for the benefit and building up of the church. Are we? Do we? Do we expect to see God at work in our midst? I wonder. And then to build the kingdom. Are we addressing God's concerns amongst the poor? Are we challenging the culture that we live in? Are we actually being the light of the world wherever we are? You can't see that picture too clearly, but it's a little lamp on a little coffee table in a little room, a retreat room that I went to just before Lent started. Well, it was actually in Lent, the beginning of Lent. That little light bulb on the little lamp on the little table, because of the brightness of the light, cast this amazing shadow. It was actually a whole network, if you like, of shadow on the walls. And for me, that is such a visual picture of how when we come to the light of the world, who is Jesus, and we allow him to make that difference in our life, to be present in our lives and communities, we can't tell the effect. But what a beautiful picture that is of God's light in a networked way that we may never know about in our community. Don't underestimate the power of God at work in our midst. Soon, and I'm not quite sure how soon, but maybe as soon as just after Pentecost, we're planning to run an Alpha course. Now, you've had Alpha courses here before, and you've had many people who have come to know the Lord through those Alpha courses. Alpha courses change slightly. It's the videos are shorter and more punchy, but it still begins with a meal. We invite our friends, neighbors, families. We bring them. What an easy way to witness to who Jesus is. We bring them along. We have a lovely meal together. We watch the short, punchy video where very articulately and very interestingly, the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is told. And then we break into groups and have chats about what that was all about. My daughter just recently, Amy, in Norwich, has just gone to an Alpha course in her local church, which is very student-y. But the Alpha course had all ages on it. And she said, "Mum, it was the highlight of my week." I said, "Oh, that's so nice. Why was it the highlight of your week?" She said, Well, the meals were always good, and the videos were interesting, and we always had good chats afterwards. And I thought, what an advert. Yes. So when we do Alpha, not if, when we do Alpha, invite your friends and neighbours and family to come. So to conclude, is the Lord amongst us or not? It's not, will we be witnesses of these things? It's, we are witnesses. You will be my witnesses from Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth. What kind of witnesses are we going to be? God is working through his Holy Spirit. None of us is perfect. None of us has the full story. But each of us can tell our part. So Jesus stands in our midst, and we need to proclaim his presence. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We're going to close with today's collect. It's a shortened version, but I wonder if you would like to, can you read it? To say this with me and to pray it with me. Risen Christ, you filled your disciples with boldness and fresh hope. Strengthen us to proclaim your risen life and fill us with your peace. To the glory of God the Father. Amen.